experience this morning. Luke chapter 18. And we'll look here at a verse of Scripture this morning. And Luke chapter 18. Y'all hot in here? Somebody flip the air on back yonder. We got this air conditioner on. Amen. I have no idea what in the world. Is all the mics off except this one? Amen. Whatever. Just make sure the monitors are off on all the mics. You have to go all the way across our monitor on every one of them. And then this one too. Monitor off on the phone. Luke chapter 18. There you go. Luke chapter 18. Make him feel good. Luke chapter 18. Now I'll preach this morning on this subject. The kids say it all the time. Somebody comes in, they got some attitude, these bus kids or something, and somebody will say, "What's your problem?" And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. What's your problem? Y'all got a problem this morning? Have you got a problem? My question is, what is your problem this morning? So if you'll give me attention just for a few minutes, you know what my problem is. So I'm going to ask you what yours is. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Look at verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Well, this boy comes to the Lord one day, and he said, "Lord, what I got to do to get to heaven?" And the Lord said, "Keep the commandments." And the guy said, "Well, I'll do that. I'm fine then, right?" And the Lord said, "No, you got one more problem. You got a problem. Turn it down just a little bit, Brother Mike." And the Lord said, "You got one more problem." He said, "What's that?" He said, "You go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor." Now, the reason the Lord told that boy to sell everything he's got and feed the poor is because those riches that he had is what was keeping him from getting right with God. It is not wrong. Let me do this. It is not wrong to be rich. Nothing wrong with it at all. And there's nothing wrong with being rich at all. Nothing wrong if you have money. But if the money is keeping you from God, then that's your problem. Now, what I'd like to ask you this morning is, what's your problem? Now, I want everybody in here, just think for a minute. And I want you to think in your heart, in your head, what is the main thing that's keeping you from being right with God? Let's all take 3 seconds and think about it. It don't take you that long. It don't take you that long. You know what it is. You know what your problem is. Everybody in here knows what your problem is. You're thinking about it right now while I'm talking. Oh, boy. I know what he's on. It's that thing or this thing. Or it's that, you know, it's that dope or that bottle or that car or that money or that job or that girl or that boy or that man or that woman. Or that. Everybody in here knows what your problem is. So I want to preach this morning on what is your problem. I travel around the country. I'm leaving to go to Ohio tomorrow morning, and I'll be preaching up there this week. And I always, it's a pretty big church, Central Baptist Church in Canton, Ohio, and it's a big church and a lot of young people. Wednesday night, they'll be bringing a lot of teenagers, probably have over 100 kids in there Wednesday night, and I'm going to preach on the signs of the times, and we're going to hope to see a bunch of people get saved. And I preached to young people in youth meeting the week before last, and week before that, and week before that, about and everywhere. And I know that every one of them's got something that keeps him from getting right with God.
usually it's one thing. It's not a bunch of things. It's usually one thing that they think, man, I just can't give this up. I just can't let go of it. I just can't do it. Well, let's see if we can figure out your problem here this morning. If you went to the doctor and you sent in a doctor to say, well, tell me what's wrong with you. I'm hurting in here. I'm hurting back here. I'm hurting everywhere. Of course, some people. I'm hurting, doc. What can I do? And the doctor say, well, I believe this and I believe that. He'll tell you what your problem is, then give you medicine. That's what I want to do. Let's see if we can figure out what everybody's problem in here this morning is. Let me ask you some questions. The doctor asks questions like that. Have you ever had back trouble? Have you ever had liver problems? Have you ever had breathing problems? So I'm going to ask you some. Let me ask you one. Is it your family? Is your family your problem? A lot of people have that this morning. Their family is their problem. Their family is their problem. They feel like, if I get right with God, then my family will turn against me. This is not a bigger problem in the South as it is up north. Up north, where most people are Catholics, and if you go to Utah, where most people are Mormons, and you know, sometimes your family turns against you when you get saved. I preached up in the mountains one time, and as a boy, about 13 or 14 got saved, and they told me, they said, Danny, when that boy goes home, his family, his daddy will cuss him. His daddy will beat him for coming to church. Isn't that sad? But a lot of people have that problem. Their family keeps them from God. They think, if I choose the Lord and I do right, then my family, sometimes they can kick you out. An Orthodox Jew gets saved, and that does happen. If he gets saved, his family completely turns against him. As a matter of fact, they'll disown him. They'll say, I heard about one boy who was Jewish and got saved, and his family, he knocked on the door. His family said, we don't even know you. We don't know who you are. One of them boys, his grandma had $10,000 in a box and said, I'll give it to you if you'll give up this faith. And he said, no, the Lord's been good to me, and I'm not going to give it up. He chose the Lord over that. I talked to a guy down over here in Marion one day. This man was successful. He was well-to-do. Everybody knew him. Made a lot of money. That old boy, he had made a good living. And I talked to him that day, and I said, why don't you get saved? And here's what he said. He said, Danny, he said, the way I look at it, as long as I pay my bills, and as long as I do right by my neighbor, then I'll be all right. And I said, but the Bible says you've got to get saved. Have you been saved? He said, Danny, the way I look at it, my daddy always said, treat people right, and you'll be okay. I said, but the Bible says if you don't get saved, you're going to heaven. He said, my daddy, you see what that man's problem was? His problem was his daddy and mama had told him something all his life. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. If that's your problem, you need to get what mom and daddy said, not being disrespectful, but come to God. Everybody ought to love their mama. Everybody ought to love their daddy. But I'm not going to go to hell for my mama. I'm not going to go to hell for my daddy. No, sir. If it stands between me and God, then that's what I want to do. I want to get right with God. What's your problem this morning? You know what your problem is, some of you this morning? Oh, we got a lot of young people here this morning, and I know what your problem is. I know everybody below 21 in here this morning, I know what your big problem is. It's your friends. That's your problem. It's your friends. When you're 14 and 15 and 16, you know what means more to you than anything in the whole world? They took a survey. They took a survey and they asked 13 and 14, 15-year-olds what's the most important thing in the world to them. You know what their answer was? The opinion that my friends have of me. That means every teenager, just about every teenager, the most important thing in the world is, what is people going to think of me? And that's why they don't want to get... That's why you teenagers sometimes will stand in church and sing like this. You're afraid that somebody's going to think, you got religion or something. I was a teenager when I got saved. My friends laughed at me. Yes, they sure did. I played in a rock band. Everybody in my town knew me. Everybody in Marion knows me right now. And most of the people in Morganton and around, everywhere I go, people know me. I went walking down the street in Niagara Falls, man, and some of them run out and said, I seen you on the video. And I watched it. And it happens everywhere I go. And you know what? It was hard. When my friends made fun of me, they laughed at me. They made fun of me. They said, and it hurt my feelings. But I made up my mind that I was not going to let my friends stop me from coming to God. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm not going to do it. And you're a fool this morning if you worry about what your friends think more than what you worry about what God thinks. We was down there working last week on our property down there cutting trees. And you have to have permission from the DOT, Department of Transportation of North Carolina, to be able to cut trees on the side of the interstate. And we was down there and we was cutting them trees. Lord have mercy. Them boys, Bobby and them boys, all these guys went down through there with them chainsaws. Brother Andy, I went down through there. I'd hate to been in their way. That man turned us loose. They went down through there whacking them trees down. Trees was falling on each other, everything. Well, we got down there, and I was on the side of the interstate. And this man that works for the state standing right there with his orange vest on, he has to watch us cut them trees. And there's a bunch of us down there cutting up and dragging some limbs out. And I got right down there in the grass right beside I-40. Watch them cars. There's 35,000 cars a day goes by right down that road over there. And I was standing there, and they was hauling at cars and stuff. And Crystal, Brother Jason's wife, she looked around. We was all laughing, cutting up. And there's two or three cars went by and blowed. I guess somebody knowed me standing up there. And Crystal hollered at me, and she said, "Brother Danny, you look like you're doing community service." And I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, no. And all them cars, people was driving up and down through there. And I guarantee you, there was people thought, yeah, they called old Cast. I seen him out there doing it on work release out there on the side of the interstate. Because that guy standing in that big orange vest on, you know, and everything. I thought, oh, God, don't let nobody think that. They said, now he's went to prison. You know, I knowed he'd wind up in prison. So they let him out to preach on Sunday, and then he has to go right back. That's what they'll be saying. But you know what? I don't care. I mean, really. I mean, I do really, but I ain't going to lose no sleep over it. Amen? I mean, so what, brother? Big deal. Amen? It don't really matter. It really don't. I mean, who cares, brother? I'm saved. Lord knows my heart. I'm going to heaven when I die. Who gives a big hoot what anybody thinks about it? And I tell you what, some of you young people, your problem is, some of you need to go to the altar this morning. You're scared to death that somebody will think, oh, boy, did you see what he did? Well, you ought to be proud. Get down on your knees here this morning and go to the altar. Y'all remember a couple of years ago when Brother Ray was fixing my 4Runner, that 4Runner sitting right out there. When he was fixing that thing, I was going to get some parts for him, and he'd send me the junkyard, and I'd have to get little old things. And I only told this story one time, I believe, but I thought about it earlier this morning. Ray said, "Danny, we need something." I had a little part about that big, and I took a bunch of trash. I shouldn't have done that, but I was over right where Butch's Barbecue is, right across the street from Walmart, and there's a dumpster between Butch's Barbecue and the that little place there that changes the oil. What is the name of that place? Tire place? Clark's Tire. That's right. And there's a big dumpster area right there, right off the street from Walmart. And I had all that trash in that thing, and I thought, well, I'm just going to throw it in that dumpster right there. Now, you ain't supposed to do that. But I remember thinking, I thought it wasn't just some boxes and stuff, and I threw it in that dumpster and got rid of it because I couldn't find a way to get rid of it. And I got back over to Brother Ray's, and Ray said, "Danny, where's that part?" And I looked, 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 and it was not. I said, "It's got to be in here. I know it's in here. Things got to be in here, Brother Ray. It's got to be." And it hit me. God, throw that thing away in the dumpster. I said, "I know where it's at." He said, "Where?" I said, "It's in that dumpster over across from Walmart." He said, "What's it doing there?" I said, "Me, big smarty pants, took my trash out there and threw it in that dumpster. And no, I picked it up and threw it in there. I know it is. And that thing costs a lot of money." I said, "I'm going back to get it." And he said, "Well, just go get you another." And I said, "I'm going to go get it." I drove back over here, got out between, out in daylight, put cars everywhere, and I was climbing up beside that dumpster like it. And I was climbing over and trying to get that lid up, and I got it up, and over in the dumpster I went. Yes, sir, I sure did. I sure did. I know y'all think I'm a redneck, not enough as it is. I know you think, and you said, "My power was in front of Walmart climbing in a dumpster." That's right. That's right. But I'm not going to go to Shelby somewhere and buy another part when I know it's in the dumpster. I got his nasty in there. I got down in there and it was up to my knees. That rats. I started digging through that and I found my boxes and I got out that part. And man, it was hard to get out of that thing. It really was. And I sort of peeped up over the top and I thought, Lord, if somebody drives in here that knows me, sees me climb. They said he was drunk all night. I saw him out of a dumpster and out there. But I want to tell you something, brother. You know what? It don't really matter, does it? It don't really matter what anybody thinks. If we would ever get to the place where we just don't care what anybody thinks, as long as God's happy, we'd be a whole lot better off in our lives. I know what y'all's problem is. You think you're hot snot. You're really just a cold booger is what you are. You boys come in here. I know how you boys do. Boys come in church and they want to be Mr. Cool, you know. Gonna sing. I'll just look around while everybody's singing. You think you are so bad. You think you are the baddest thing that ever. Let me tell you what you are. You are a sinner that deserves to be in hell. And you don't deserve one good thing God's ever done for you. And if God gives you breath, bring air to breathe, you ought to use it to praise His name with. I got saved when I was 18 years old. Brother, they said I was crazy. They said it won't last 2 weeks. It's been all these years later. And I'm telling you, it's still good this morning. It's still real today. God's still on the throne. And I don't know what your problem is, but listen, don't let it be your friends. Don't let it be your friends. Don't let it be your friends. I'm telling you, your friends will take you the wrong way. And I'm telling you, you can tell what you are or what you're going to be by the people you hang around. Whoever you hang around, that's who you're going to be like. I seen these girls bring these boys in here, and I said, Lord have mercy, where'd you get that thing? And they said, well, ain't he cute? Well, it's not really, but I ain't never seen a boy yet I thought was cute. I want to make that clear. I want to make that clear. There ain't a queer bone in my body. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, and they'll say, ain't he a good-looking preacher? No, he ain't. And they'll say, where'd you get that thing? Well, Brother Danny, I know he's not this and he's not that. And I said, you ain't going to marry him, are you? No, I wouldn't marry him. You don't hang around with somebody that you're not supposed to hang around with. You know how you wind up marrying somebody? Talking to them. You know what happens when you talk? You fall in love. You know what happens when you fall in love? You get married. You know how you marry the wrong person? You talk to the wrong person. That's how it starts. What's your problem this morning? Is your problem your friends? Is your problem your friends? Is your problem what people are going to say about you? I'm telling you this morning, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. I was down in that camp meeting the other day, preached in at China Grove. Right on the other side of Concord Mills. Y'all know where Concord Mills, the mall is down there at the Speedway in Charlotte. And I went down there to get a pair of shoes and look at the ties and stuff in the Burlington store where I shop. And when I came out, there was some guys across the street preaching. I'm telling you, them boys was preaching. And they had big old signs up, big as that right there, had aborted babies. And they were all standing there preaching and you could, they had loud speakers and you could hear them from here to McDonald's. I ain't lying. You could hear them. And you know what? I'd been in there, Brother Jason, in that mall and I could feel the world and hear the world's music and hear all that stuff. And my flesh was just, you know, right in there at home. And when I walked outside, I heard that man preaching. And when I heard that man preaching, something in me went, glory to God. Hallelujah. The spirit in me started responding to that preaching. And something in me said, there's your crowd. That's who you're supposed to be with. That's who. And brother, when I got saved, God put something in me that made me want to be with His people and preaching and singing. And if you've ever really been saved, there's something inside you that wants to be around church. And I drove across the road and went over there and stood with them. You say, well, what denomination? I don't even know. But I know one thing, they had more guts than most Baptists I've met. Glory to God. Amen. And buddy, I was standing out there preaching. There's two or three girls sitting out there giving out tracts. And I stood with them. There was thousands of cars coming by. Thousands. And buddy, I'm telling you what. Some of them guys got mad and they just blow their horn up. Bing! Trying to preach out. And that guy said, I wanted that microphone so bad I couldn't stand it. I started to say, let me have that thing. Let me say something. And that guy was preaching. He was preaching good. He was really preaching good. And I said, I'm proud of y'all. I shook their hands. I said, hallelujah. You know what? When God saves you, He puts something in you that sets you apart. And you know what some of y'all's your problem is this morning? You know what your problem is? You're trying to put one foot with the Lord and the other foot with the devil, and you can't never make up your mind which way your life's going. What's your problem this morning? What's your problem? What is your problem? Is it your fads? Is it fads? You know what a fad is? I ask you, was it your family? Then I ask you, was it your friends? And I ask you, is it your fads? Now, a fad is something that just sort of comes up and everybody goes crazy over it, and then it dies out. Now, the devil will make sure that there's always something new coming. New. That's why all these magazines, you stand in Walmart and you see all the magazines when you're checking out, every one of them says, the new way to lose weight. The new way to be beautiful. The new way to look good in your bathing suit. The new way to snag that man you're chasing. The new way to get there. The new way to get there. The new. And they think, oh boy, they've come out with something new. No, they ain't. It's just going, the old stuff going in a cycle. My sisters, when I was little, growing up, girls all had straight hair. Straight, just straight hair. Straight hair was in style. And I've seen my sisters, if you had straight hair, you was a buck. I saw my sisters, girls used to lift their hair on the ironing board and iron it with an iron. I don't guess you'd do that nowadays because, you know, it'd mess your hair up, I guess. But they used to iron it trying to make it straight. When I had long hair, my hair would come out right here, and as soon as it gets to my ear, it starts doing like here. You ever seen me little ugly hippies with hair like that? It gets right here and it starts going like that, you know, like Ted Nugent or somebody. And I remember my sister's hair was straight because Cher and Sonny, or Cher did anyway, had long straight hair. Then, a few years later, somebody came out. Here come Farrah Fawcett's bathtub, spigot, whatever she is. And she came out. She had big hair. And all the girls started wearing, I mean, it got real big, in fact, in the 80s. You remember that? I mean, brother, hair this big. They look like a stick of cotton candy walking down the street. I mean, it looked like their hair poofed a kiss, and they'd use a can of hairspray on it every single morning. I remember them things. Boy, I used to tell them girls up there at church at New Manna, I used to say, listen, I know how you girls fix your hair. You take a can of hairspray and go down the same side of the interstate, and as soon as one of them big trucks, you spray it right quick before it falls down. Which, that's all right. That's the way you want to wear it. Then, straight hair comes back in, then curly, then kinky, then straight. Then goes, and everybody says, wow, have you seen the new fad? Wow, see how Paris Hilton her hair. Wow, did you see Justin Timberlake shaves his off? He looks like he's retarded in a mental institution. That's the way I want to look. Now, you know what that is? That is a fad. That's a fad. Don't let your fads keep you. Let me show you something. Come here, buddy. You're my buddy. I'm going to help you. Don't you help? Hey, I ain't got all day. See this boy right here? He plays on the, what's that, not the Adams family, that other family. Brady Bunch, that's him right here. Let's say this. Now, he's walking through life. He's a teenager walking through life. He comes to church. This boy comes to church about every Sunday. Amen. Cool tie. Amen. Amen. And he rides one of our buses, and you know what the devil's trying to do? The devil's trying to mess him up. And the devil's really trying to mess him up. So I'm going to let you. Jeremy, you come here and be the devil. You look about more like the devil than anybody on the front row. Here's the devil. Now, the devil's going to be right here. You know what the devil's job is? The devil's job is to keep him from getting with God. Now, you teenagers, listen to me. The devil's job is to keep you from getting right with God. So what does the devil do? He shows him stuff. He shows him stuff. Here, show him some stuff. Have you seen this? Check this out, man. Wow. Have you seen this? It's Terminator Park 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And say, I'm up here preaching. Listen to me, boy. Listen to me, boy. But the devil's showing him stuff. The devil's showing him. Whoa, check this out. Have you seen this? Get on the internet. Show him something on the internet. Show him something here. Here. Show him this dirty magazine. Here's a dirty magazine. Show that to him now. Amen. Oh, show that. Oh, keep him. Hey, boy. Easy. The devil's trying to keep you from God, man. Listen, show him this. The devil's saying, check this out. Here, here's a, Here's a rap singer. Here's a rock singer. Here's the devil's job is to keep you thinking. Listen to me, teenagers. The devil's job is to keep you thinking, whoa, nobody's ever done this before. Whoa, this is new. Whoa, this will make me happy. Wow, check this. And he'll keep doing that to you till you're dead and in hell. He'll keep doing that to you till he laughs at you when you drop in hellfire. What's your problem? What's your problem? Okay, you don't sit down, fellas. What's your problem? Let me ask you one more question. What's your problem? Is it your family? What's your problem? Is it your fads? What's your problem? Huh? What's your problem? Is it your friends? Let me ask you one more before we go. Is it your fun? Is it your fun? There's people sitting right here this morning. You done stuff last night that you know wasn't right. And you're miserable sitting in here this morning because you partied last night. And you got drunk last night. And you got high last night. And I'm up here preaching and these people up here singing and something in you saying, man, it would be nice. I wish I was right with the Lord. I wish I could enjoy church and everything. But that fun is keeping you from God. That's your problem. Your problem is you're having so much fun out there partying that you can't get right with God. And I'm going to ask you something this morning. Is it your fun? Is it your fun? Now, let me tell you something about this partying business. You may be 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You think, man, we party every Friday night and I have fun. The problem is you just ain't smart enough to see down the road a few years. That's your problem. You can't see. Go with me sometime to one of these rehabs. Go with me to an AA meeting where them fellas sit there and look down at the floor and they've lost their wife and lost their job and lost their health and lost everything they've got. Go with me down here to rehab where these kids, they got some of these kids wrapped in there. They can't even let them have clothes. They'll hang themselves with them and have to lock them up in a padded cell. And there's where your fun's going to take you. You may think you're big and bad and tough and you can handle it, but your fun is going to wind you up in a place that you'll wish to God you'd have never heard of. Is it your fun? Oh, I'm having too much fun, preacher. I ain't going to get right with God. No, I'm living it up. Well, it ain't going to last long. You'll find you've made a terrible mistake and it'll cost you a whole lot more in the end. You know what the Lord's doing to you this morning? He's knocking. You may think you just got up and come to church this morning for no reason at all, but God brought you here this morning. And the Lord's knocking. Like that. Trying to get to come in. Or let Him to come in. And they said one time as eating supper, this whole family was sitting there around that table eating supper. And everybody in the family was saved except the daddy. And the daddy, and they'd try to get the daddy to go to church and try to get their daddy to get saved, and he wouldn't. And there's a picture of Jesus. I don't know if have y'all ever seen that picture where there's Jesus is standing there knocking at the door, and the little boy looked up and he said, "Mama, who is that?" And why is he knocking? And the mama said, "That's Jesus, son, and he's knocking at the door." And he said, "Why won't them people let him in?" She said, "I don't know, son." And his daddy got to thinking about that. Why won't them people let him in? Why won't them people let him in? Let me ask you something this morning. Why won't you let him in? Is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it your fun? Is it your fads? What's your problem? Whatever your problem is stopping you from getting right with God is not worth it. Now there's people in here this morning that you need to make a move toward God. The Bible said if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw to you. And I'll tell you, I'll guarantee it. We're going to stand in a minute and sing. And I'll guarantee you there'll be somebody in here, the Spirit of God's going to pull on your heart. And you're going to think, you know what, I need to go down there and pray. But then you'll think, what would so-and-so think? What would this think? What would that? And that's your problem. You're too scared what somebody's going to think about you. Won't you be a man this morning? Won't you be a man, stand up for God? Won't you be a real woman and say, I'm going to do right. If nobody else don't like it, I'm going to do it anyway. Nobody in my family does it, I'll do it anyway. What's your problem? What's your problem? Let's get it fixed this morning. Let's stand by it.